You start out describing what's a little known memo, I think, to most people by Lewis Powell, who went on to become a justice on the Supreme Court. Tell me why you think that memo was such a watershed.
Well, you know, I ran the New York Times Washington Bureau in the late 1970s when Jimmy Carter was president and when the Democrats were in control of Congress. And during that Congress, we knew Jimmy Carter was getting beaten pretty badly by business interests, by Republicans, and by defecting conservative Democrats. But we didn't understand why it was happening. So as I started to look into what I now conclude was a major power shift in American politics, I came across reading some histories that Lewis Powell, who was a well-known Supreme Court justice appointed by Richard Nixon in 72, had actually been not only a strong advocate of the free enterprise system and a prominent corporate attorney, but he had been the author of a memo requested by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce about the political disaster that American business leaders were suffering in the late 60s and early 70s. And basically what he said was, you're getting killed by the consumer movement, by the labor movement, by the environmental movement, by all these movements that are hemming in American business and pushing for more regulation of business, and you need to fight back. And what's surprising is the business leaders responded incredibly. At the time Powell wrote his memo, there were only 175 companies that even had offices in Washington. Within 8 years, there were 2,425. There were 50,000 people working for business trade associations. There were 9,000 registered corporate lobbyists. And so when Carter and the Democrats took over the government, they got ambushed.
So is the answer to who stole the American dream, is it corporations?
Well, that's certainly part of the answer. That's a big part of the answer, yes. And it isn't just, number one, they stole it in part by what I just described. They became powerful and they began to defeat the things that had been promoting a widely shared prosperity where the middle class was doing much better in the 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s. And as you move into the 80s and the 90s, the middle class wages and the middle class salaries are stagnating and money is gravitating to the top. So the push by corporations to deregulate, to lower taxes on the people at the top. But there was something beyond that. There used to be a belief on the part of America's corporate leaders. They believed in sharing the wealth. Now, they were under pressure from unions. They had to bargain with them. But they didn't disagree about the idea that there was a social compact that ensured what is called stakeholder capitalism kind of ruled the marketplace. Since then, we've moved to what economists call shareholder capitalism. And that is the idea that the job and mission of the CEO is simply to maximize the return of the shareholders. And when you go after maximizing shareholder value, you start imposing wage freezes. You start moving jobs overseas. And under the new system, with sharp divisions and great inequality of income, you have slow growth.
You're saying basically it's a choice, but I would say that a lot of business leaders would say it's not really a choice, that in the face of globalization and automation, that if they don't take these steps to lower costs, their foreign companies are going to eat their lunch. So what do you respond to that?
There's certainly truth to that, that technology and globalization have had a powerful impact on lots of industries and have disrupted production and forced the closing of some factories. But I don't buy the argument anymore that they don't have a choice. If you look at Germany, for example, over the last 25 years, they took a different fork in the road. They stuck with stakeholder capitalism instead of shareholder capitalism. Today, German workers have had pay increases over the last 25 years that are five times more than American workers. Now, if it were true that it was globalization and automation and technology that dictated the policies and strategies that American businesses and American multinationals have adopted, then Germany should be busted. What's interesting is exactly the opposite is true. In the last decade, the United States had a $6 trillion trade deficit. That is, when we went out to compete with the world, we did so badly that we had to buy $6 trillion more stuff from the world than we sold the world. At the same time, Germany had a $2 trillion trade surplus. So I'm sorry, I don't buy the argument anymore that what American corporations are doing are inevitable. Some of it's inevitable, but not all of it, and certainly a whole chunk of it could be handled differently with different strategies.
Thank you so much for talking with me.
Ashley, I enjoyed it. Very good to be with you.
Hedrick Smith is author of Who Stole the American Dream. He's also a Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter, formerly with The New York Times.